This is The More Abundant Life, and my name is Adrian Westney Jr., your host for today's program. The More Abundant Life features inspiring messages and presentations and music by Pastor Wendley Phipps. And we're glad you've joined us today. Today we're going to continue and conclude a sermon that we began in the previous broadcast. As you know, if you've been listening, we've been doing a series on the Ten Commandments, and Pastor Phipps began the sermon on the Third Commandment in the last program. Today we're going to finish that message. Something About That Name is the title of the message, and we're going to begin that just after we hear some very special music by Wendley Phipps.
Straight forward. Bring forth the royal diadem and crown him Lord of all. Bring forth the royal diadem and crown him Lord of all. Chosen seed of Israel's race, he ransomed from the fall. Hail him who saves you by his grace and crown him Lord of all. Hail him who saves you by his grace and crown him Lord of all.
Music by Wendley Phipps entitled All Hail the Power of Jesus' Name, and that is from the CD release entitled Just As I Am and Other Favorite Hymns of Billy Graham. It's a very, very nice CD indeed, something that you may want to think about getting and adding to your collection of music. Very inspiring. We'll give you some more information about that at the end of our program, but just now we're going to begin the message, part two of the message entitled Something About That Name. Here now is Pastor Phipps.
Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless who taketh his name in vain. Brothers and sisters, here God is warning us. When you call the name of God, make sure you use the right tone. How we use his name tells him whether we really honor him and reverence him. You know, it's nice when people care enough to take the time to say your name with love and affection. My mother had many ways of saying my name. Sometimes if it came from the top down, Wentley, that meant one thing. Wentley, that was something else. In this commandment, brothers and sisters, the King of Kings tells us that he is offended when we don't care enough to take the time to speak his name with reverence. Names are important. Even in our day, you don't sign your check with a number. You sign your check with your name. Sign your name on a deed, it buys you a house. Even money can be borrowed on the strength of a name. Some names have unusual power because of the person who stands behind that name. Some years ago, my friend Billy Graham invited me to accompany him on his first crusade in Moscow, in Russia. The Iron Curtain had just opened up. Bev Shea couldn't make it. And so I was honored to be asked to go. Well, while I was there, one day I caught a taxi. It was my last day there. And I went down to see the Moscow Circus. I didn't have a ticket, and to my dismay, there were no tickets to be found. The problem was that there were more tickets sold than there were seats. So standing around were scores of people who had tickets for that night's performance, but there were no seats. Well, I knew that was my last night in Russia, and I wanted to see the circus, and you know your pastor. Well, I think you know your pastor. I wanted to find a way. So I walked around to the back of the stage entrance, and though I couldn't speak Russian, I was able to make it clear that I wanted to see the manager. So just imagine this black man standing in the doorway in the middle of Moscow, asking in English of Russian people to see the manager. It was a sight. After some time, a kind man came and I began to tell him as best as I could that this was my last night in Moscow and I wanted to see the circus. And he was nice, but he wasn't moving, wasn't budging. And then I said, I was here to sing for the Billy Graham Crusade. He said, oh, Billy Graham. Before I knew what was happening, I was being escorted to a posh box, a private box. I was given the best seat. Are you listening to me? The best seat in the house. And all night long, I sat there watching the circus, and all night long, they were offering me wine and vodka. I didn't drink any. Don't worry about it. But I enjoyed the circus that day. I came here to tell you there's still power in a name. One day a man was going overseas and he gave to his friend the power of attorney and the friend had the privilege of acting in his behalf. Well, this so-called friend, on the power of his friend's name, sold his own friend's house, borrowed large sums of money, and no one could stop him because he was doing it in the power and authority given to him by that name. Well, if names of men provide such power, hallelujah,
If names of men
give you such authority, by the power of the name of God, you can do so much. By the power of his name, God led his people out of the land of Egypt. By the power of his name, he fed them in the wilderness. By the power of his name, he led them to the promised land. And that's why in John 14, 12, it says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also. And greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father." And then he says in verse 13 of John 14, "Whatsoever you ask in my name, that will I do." Now, is it all right if I teach a little bit? In the New Testament, an important shift takes place. And yes, an important revelation is made known unto us. Acts 8:16. If you have your Bible, turn there. The book of Acts, chapter 8, verse 16. It says there, "For as yet he was fallen upon none of them, only they were baptized," now watch this, "in the name of the Lord." Now hold on for a moment. All throughout the Old Testament, it's the name of the Lord, the name of the Lord, the name of the Lord. Now it is the name of the Lord Jesus. It's the name of the Lord Jesus. Acts 9:29. Look at Acts 9, verse 29. "And he spake boldly in the name of the Lord Jesus." Acts 19, verse 5. "When they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus." So you don't stump your toe and call out this name. If in the Old Testament they would hardly even call his name, we cannot be flippant. We cannot be careless in calling out the name of Jesus without honor and reverence. William Ward said, "Profanity is the use of strong words by weak people." God's name is holy, and his name is not to be used recklessly or thoughtfully. Remember, God does not forbid the use of his name, but he is offended by the misuse of his name. An Olympic gold medal winner by the name of Paul Anderson, one day, he's in the world, Guinness World Book of Records. He's able to lift 3 tons, and he's 5'9", 375 pounds, very strong. He was in an airport one day, and he heard someone shouting and misusing the name of Jesus, and he went over to that person, and he picked him up. He swung him around, and he said, "Where is he? Where is he? He's a friend of mine." That person was afraid to use that name carelessly again. "And it shall come to pass that before they call, I will answer." God wants you to call on his name. "Neither is there salvation in any other name." Now, on most products in the United States of America, you will see TM. Have you noticed that? TM. You know what that stands for? Trademark. That means that the name of this property is being kept inviolate, sacred. Do you know what would happen if tomorrow you went and took a cup of water, added some caramel color and some sugar, and then slapped a label on it and called it Coca-Cola and tried to sell it to the public? You would be Yes, finish it for me. You would be sued up and down. The reason that you would get sued is because you put a name on a product that is very important to that company. The name stands for who that company is, and everything that you are as a company, the entire reputation is wrapped up in that company. Therefore, you get agitated as a company when somebody uses your name in an inappropriate way. Companies will do everything to keep a good name and a good reputation. That's why if you go out today, well, let me be careful, but if you go out today and put up a building and put Seventh-day Adventists on it, you will get sued. Did you know that? Because you've got, have mercy, to protect your name. You protect your name. Identity theft. You want to protect your name. In the restaurant business, managers know that a customer who's satisfied with their meal will probably recommend that restaurant to one other person. But a customer who is not satisfied with their meal will warn seven other people to stay away from that restaurant. A good reputation, a good name is vital to your business. So companies are jealous of their reputation. So what would make you think that God would not be offended if somebody used his name in an improper way? Help me, Jesus. There's a book entitled Naming for Power, and it basically says, and by the way, I have a friend by the name of Famous Amos. You ever heard of him? Yeah, you know who he is. He ate his cookies. Famous Amos. Well, Famous Amos told me himself, we were in a hotel in Hawaii. He was broken hearted because he had signed over his name to another company. He could not even, oh, are you with me today? He couldn't even use his own name. One writer is trying to say that one way for modern Christians to understand this commandment is to treat God's name as his property and trademark. He went even as far as to say his copyright manual is the Bible. To capture greater market share for his authorized franchise, that's the church. God has graciously licensed the use of his name to anyone who will use it accordingly, according to his written instructions. So it needs to be understood that God's name has not been released to the public domain yet for you to do whatever you want to do. God, in his word, is saying, I retain control of my name. And if you misuse it, I will sue you. You didn't hear me today. God says, if you take my name in vain, I will not hold you guiltless. I will sue you. God wants you to call on his name, but he doesn't want you to misuse his name. The other day, I was driving with my son, and we came up beside a school bus. Looked like elementary school kids. Window was down. And a little boy, well, he was little, but he was big, leaned out of the window and started cussing thing? I couldn't believe my ears. One day I even saw a man pull out in front of a lady. And I learned that day that women can cuss too. Babies cuss. One day a man who had sworn in my presence said, "Oh, sorry, preacher, sorry." I wanted to tell him, "Brother, you need not apologize to me. It was God's name that you took in vain." God is angry. He said, "I will not hold you guiltless." To put in legal terms, he said, "I will not drop my suit against those who use my name in an improper way." So this commandment, brothers and sisters, is not about only your talk and what you say. It's also about your walk. Because what you do reflects on his name. Amen? You remember when you were growing up, your parents used to tell you, "You got to behave because you want to hold up the name." You remember that? By the way, another way of misusing God's name is by using it in anger. You got dinner reservations and your wife is taking a long time to get dressed. You're frustrated and you say God's name. That's misusing his name. Remember, when people want to know what God is like, they look at you. If you are honest, if you are kind, God says, take your time. If you give grace and mercy, they will think that's what God is like. But if you are selfish, greedy, judgmental, rude, we got too many of God's people who are just downright rude. Critical, fault-finding, people will look at you and think that's what God is like. So if you wear his name, don't live in shame. God said, if you lead a sinful life, you make my name empty. Well, before I close today, I want to ask you a question. Can God sign his name to your life? Does your life honor his name? You say, "But I keep the Sabbath." Okay, let's go to the third commandment. I don't kill, I don't steal. Okay, yeah, but let's go to the third commandment. Does your life honor the name of God? Whatever you say, whatever you do, you know, God takes a risk in putting his name on our lives. Oh, have mercy. The reason I'm preaching this series, and I'm going to pray, is because all of these commandments are signposts to heaven. In 1996, I'll never forget it, three teenagers drove through an intersection directly into the path of an 8-ton truck. These three young men were killed in this accident. During the investigation, it was discovered that there was a stop sign lying on the roadside near the accident. Three other young men had thought it fun to go along the rural roads and steal road signs. They were found. They were convicted of manslaughter. Each of them faced 27 years in prison. The judge was quoted as saying these words, "I don't believe for one minute that you pulled up these signs with the intent of causing the death of anyone. But pulling up these signs cause ramifications that none of you may have ever expected. God's Ten Commandments are signposts. People are tearing them down. But this preacher, I said, this preacher is going to hold up the Ten Commandments of God. You are Christ's ambassadors. Don't shame his name.
Well, that brings us to the end of the message, the two-part series on the third commandment entitled Something About That Name. And we're almost at the end of our program today. We have just a few more minutes. If you would like to obtain an audio copy of today's message, here's what you need to do. You need to call the Seabrook Church, and the phone number there is 301-577-6342. Again, the phone number for the Seabrook Church is 301-577-6342. And you want to ask for program number 333, program 333. And that gives you today the title, Something About That Name, Part 2. You may also email a request to the Seabrook Audiovisual Department. That email address is seabrookav@yahoo.com. Again, seabrookav@yahoo.com. We also feature the music of Wendley Phipps here on The More Abundant Life. Many of you have requested information about this music, and here's how you may obtain some more information about the music of Wendley Phipps. One, you may go to wendleyphipps.com. That's one way of doing it, wendleyphipps.com. You may also call 1-800-US-DREAM. That's 1-800-US-DREAM. Those two options will give you more information about the music of Wendley Phipps, how to obtain it. Of course, many bookstores across North America carry the music of Wendley Phipps, and you may also visit those bookstores, too, to find out that information. We're so thankful to the Seabrook Church for the sponsorship of this program, The More Abundant Life. We appreciate what they have done over the years, and I know that you appreciate that also. As we draw another program to a close here, I want to wish you God's richest blessings from week to week. Join us again, though, for another program here on The More Abundant Life. Remember the words written in John chapter 10, verse 10. That's where Jesus said, I came that you might have life, and that life might be the more abundant life. My name is Adrian Westney Jr., your host. So long for now.
Give what's in your heart.